are you?
My name is Elizabeth Gasly, and I live in Northville, Michigan.
Let's start this morning with you telling me a little bit about your personal biography, when and where you were born.
I was born in Benzonia, Michigan, and I lived there till I was 2 years old. Then we moved to Cadillac, Michigan, and I stayed there for 2 years. And when I was 5 years old, we moved to Detroit, Michigan, close to the Redford Golf Course, and I started kindergarten and went through all my education in that same community, graduated from Redford High School in January 1937.
Okay. And then you went off to college?
Correct.
Okay. And you want to say anything about where you went to college and what you studied to be when you grew up?
I went to Albert College, and I majored in child psychiatry and child development. I also decided, because it was wartime and I needed a job right away, to start teaching rather than continuing school.
You were not originally from the Northville area. Do you have any early childhood memories of Northville?
Well, because I lived in the northwest section of Detroit, we came out to Cass Benton Park for picnics and to visit the fish hatchery.
Do you have any special memories about either of those places?
Not particularly. We also, during that time, Edward Hines Park was developed, and I can remember coming out to play tennis on the tennis courts and climbing up on what later became Beard Hill.
And that would have been in the 30s?
30s.
So then when did you first move to North?
We moved to Northville 1950.
And you've lived at the same house at 221 South Rogers the entire time?
Correct.
What was the city of Northville like when you first moved here?
One of the reasons we moved here was it was still a small community. There was only one school, and our children went to school with the doctors and the lawyers, but the farmers and the ditch diggers too. And then later there was the Catholic school and the Lutheran school, but our first two older children went to school with the same children basically from kindergarten to through high school. Our younger family, who was born after we moved to Northville, lived during the time that the companies were moving people in and out. So while they had some friends throughout school, they also experienced a lot of other.
So at the time that you moved to Northville, it was a much smaller community than it is today?
Yes. It was a very small community. There were no subdivisions at all. In fact, my husband looked for over a year for a place to rent, and there were just no houses available. In fact, there were hardly any for sale. And so we bought this house as soon as it was available.
What were some of the first activities you became involved in when you moved to Northville?
Well, let's see. I was room mother for the first grade class, and I participated in PTA, and later, both my husband and I worked on curriculum study committees for the school because it was a growing community, and the school system hadn't progressed as fast as the community, we didn't think. Then, soon afterwards, I became involved in the co-op nursery when our younger son was 3 years old.
So that would have been in what year?
Let's see. He was born in 51. 2, 3, 54. Yeah, 54 and 55.
And the co-op nursery in 54 was about how old?
Well, it had started, I think in the late 40s.
And your initial involvement was as a parent?
Yes.
And what did you do as far as being involved?
Well, I had 2 children in, and so I served on the board, and I was at one time treasurer, and then I was also president 1 year.
That was as a parent?
As a parent, which to me was very interesting because I feel I had a lot easier time as a teacher than some of the gals I taught with because I had worked at it from the parent angle and knew what some of the problems would be with a board that was administered by the parents.
So when did you start as a teacher?
I started in 1958, I guess.
And how long did you teach?
Until 81.
So quite a few years.
Yes. I saw a lot of changes.
So did you have something that you wanted to say about the co-op? What the changes?
Well, it was organized in the late 40s by Sherry Meyer, who was looking for playmates for her children because she lived out on 8 Mile and there weren't close neighbors. And it is still, the co-op is still active. So it was one of the oldest.
It's 40 years old.
Basically. early days, it was sponsored by the PTA, who paid $15 a month rent for 2 rooms in the Presbyterian Church. I think the first teacher was Ann Chismeyer, who was a former kindergarten teacher who had taken time out to have a family. Other early teachers were Jean Langtree, Mary Conley, Pat Heyer, Joyce Skipper, and Marion Petra. During the 60s and 70s, the list included Ray Divert, Eugenie Beamish, Steffi Ryder, and myself. Let's see, what did I want here? Northfield Co-op Preschool was one of the earliest in the state and is still in operation. Michigan, Maryland, and California were the leaders of the movement. Cooperative nurseries are a nonprofit organization and were organized to give 3 and 4 year olds a preschool experience. They were administered by a board made up of the parents who took care of renting the buildings, purchasing the equipment, and hiring the teachers. Because parents were interested in the best for their kids, our equipment was much better than the average nursery. Northfield Co-op was very fortunate in its formative years because that was the time Northfield State Hospital and Hawthorne Center were opening, and young families of resident psychiatrists and other professionals served on our board. These people knew exactly what was best for young children, so set up a very high standards for the school. The nursery not only provided many experiences for kids, but were that were not available in our homes. I know I sent my children there to finger paint, water play, and all the messy things. Also, to have to use the large, expensive materials, such as hollow blocks, building planks, jumping boards, a workbench with real tools. It also provided an outlet for many mothers who were new to the community and away from their families. Many whose husbands were working long hours and or going to school were pretty much stuck at home with small children. Because they assisted only a couple of days a month, they had a little time to themselves. Another advantage to the co-op was being able to participate with your child. Parent cooperative preschools have been credited with grassroots education for parents, in-service training for knowing children, and broadening that one's perspective of the community. This is one of the things that people really felt was important, because at that time there weren't any, quote, classes in parenting and the sort of literature that's around to help people when they suddenly have children. I have noticed in Northville many cooperative mothers and fathers have been active in the Northville schools in such things as participating in enrichment programs, sharing their talents or specialties with the rest of the children. During its lifetime, the co-op has made several moves. In 1962, when the church space was no longer available, they moved to the Scout Hall on Katy Street. I remember the shock when they found out that the rent was going to be $100 a month instead of $15. Children-sized lockers had to be built, and George McDaniels did an excellent job. The outside play equipment had to be set up, and thanks to Thompson Gravel Company, owned by Elda and her husband Charlie, we had sand for the box, materials for concrete, and equipment to move large sewer tiles, etc. Then money had to be raised to build a fire escape from the second floor. Because nursery school is licensed by the state, we were inspected annually. We always passed with flying colors. I remember a glowing report from the Wayne County inspection saying that we had probably the best facilities and equipment, especially in program, of the state. Some of the people who served as presidents and board members were Alda Sorensen, Marilyn McDaniels, Pat Wright, Joanne Daziel, Sharon D. Alexander, Peggy Myers, and Mary Jane Bergerman. Stop a minute. There was Marge Davis and Jean Day Kouse. Interesting sidelight, Sherry Meyer, who started the nursery this year, has a great granddaughter by the name of Valerie in the nursery school. Her granddaughter, Debbie Myers, had been in school along with her brother Matt back in the earlier days. One of the changes that I noticed during the years was the difference between family activities. The early times it seems that most preschool attention was given to the child by the mother. And as over the years, we had a lot more father participation. In fact, the last few years I taught, we had two or three fathers who were working, were the working parents. They had jobs that it was easier for them to leave than for the mothers. And this provided a very interesting program. And my, the thing that surprised me at first was I had anticipated all the little boys to be gathering around, but it was the girls that spent the time with the working fathers. Most of them handled it pretty well, but a couple of them were acted a little bit surprised.
So when the parents were involved, what did they do, go in as teacher assistants? Is that what they did?
Yes. The way that the nursery saved money was to have the assistant teachers be the parents. And it really helped the program a lot, because different people brought in different ideas, and it was very interesting.
So how many students would there be in any given year?
Oh, we were limited to 32, and that is included with two teachers and four assisting mothers. So the child-parent ratio was very good. It got to be very popular as the community grew. And during the 60s, we went to five-day sessions with one group meeting Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and another group on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then the last year I taught, 80-81, they started a toddler group, which was for 18 months to 3-year-olds. And they met for just an hour and a half. But it was very interesting. Among other things, we had a little Chinese girl in the group. And it was very interesting to see how she picked up the language from the other children.
So she had come here originally from China, and they were speaking Chinese in the home?
They were speaking Chinese in the home. The mother was Chinese, and the father was not. But he had met her in Hong Kong, I believe, and when he was doing missionary work. And he was very interested that the children learn the Chinese language, so that was what was spoken in the home. And then they spoke it otherwise.
Okay, let's go back to the sessions. You said in the 60s they went to 5-day sessions, so prior to that it was just a 3-day a week
yes.
program?
Yes, uh-huh. And it was sort of a standard joke with the families who were long-standing that they enrolled their new babies the day they were born.
that was the next thing I was going to ask you. That with the size of the group and the size of the community, was there a long waiting list?
Until other nurseries came, until the private nurseries came, the Lutheran school started one, and then the Little Red Schoolhouse, and then there were some commercial ones.
At this time now, there's not a waiting list.
I do not know what it is. I'm not familiar with what's happening right now. I know that that you have to be a devoted parent, because it's a lot of work.
So the possibility exists that because there's more prevalent daycare, it's an easier way.
Oh yes, and then it's harder for working mothers to participate. Some of them believed in it enough so that they that they made all sorts of arrangements or else had their husbands come to participate.
And you mentioned earlier, too, about the people that helped plan the programs and everything. It's something about training parents. Did you think in many instances it was valuable to parents to have this kind of training with their own children?
Yes. It had, and there are people that really, really believe in it. For instance, if you have a child who is really having problems separating from its mother, our program was flexible enough so there was no reason why that mother couldn't come and sit in a corner and not really function, but just let the child know that it was there until they were ready to be left. And just seeing your children with other children gives you a whole new perspective, especially if you haven't had that kind of contact before.
So in this program, if you only needed four parents as teacher assistants, there was something for that all of the parents of the other children would also be involved in doing something, or did you rotate the teacher assistants?
Oh, yes. Part of the requirement was they divided the number of days in the month of the parents, and there was a scheduling chairman who arranged the work days, and you had to work. You had to participate as part of that. Was part of them.
And then this parent board that you talked about earlier, they would be the ones that would set that up, structure and schedule.
Well, each person in the co-op had jobs. There was equipment chairman and the scheduling chairman and then most everybody, they recruited people. Most everybody did other jobs besides their assisting. Like there was a lady who did the sewing, repaired the aprons and the dress-up clothes. And
so then people sort of aimed toward their own particular specialty.
Yes.
Yes. You also mentioned when you were talking about setting up the playground equipment. Is that the equipment that's still there? There is still playground equipment back to Arkansas.
Yes, they did not move that big playhouse, and I don't think they moved material, because when they moved from the Scout Hall, they went to Main Street School, and there was a small playground from the kindergarten left there. And they built, at that time, they built a new pirate ship, but they didn't move the other equipment. That was another problem that the nursery school had. When the city decided to rent the Scout Hall out to business, they moved to the Main Street School, but had to rent space by the square foot and had to rent it 12 months a year instead of the 9.5, which also made a problem. And from when the Board of Education decided to rent out the Main Street School, they moved the co-op to Moraine. And now that Moraine is opening, why, they're going to have to move to Cook School.
That was the next question I was going to ask you. Where are they now? So they've been in Moraine, only about 5 years?
I don't know how long, but I don't think it's been, maybe it's been 5 years. It probably has.
Okay, and then they'll be going to Cook this fall.
Yes. So.
So that's an ongoing problem. Is it the change in the way they have to pay rental fees, that's affected the cost to the parents?
Yes. And the other thing that has been a problem is since there are so many Head Start programs and other nurseries, the co-op is being licensed under the same problems. And since they started having suits against the schools, why, it's been very hard for the co-ops to have insurance. And my own feeling is that the co-op should be in a different category, because you aren't going to have child abuse when the parents are there. Well, no, well, right. Well, there'd be several parents, I mean, you know.
It would be unlikely.
It couldn't. So, but there.
Would you say that because they're using the parent assistance, though, and the parent volunteer work, that the cost for the co-op is still less than it is for private?
Oh, absolutely, because there isn't any profit involved. And when you work on this thing, for instance, we had fathers repair equipment that somebody else would toss and
buy new. Do you think of anything else about the preschool you'd like to discuss?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Earlier in the discussion, you talked a little bit about working on the public skills curriculum studies. What exactly did you do on that?
They divided it into committees, and like one was on one group were. About building the high school specifically. I worked on a program for the gifted, and we did a lot of research, and had people come out and talk to us. And we wrote a big long report.
When would that have been?
Probably in the 50s. I probably have that whole thing. I have thrown all this stuff on
Do you have
kick it off the chain?
Do you have any other community organizations you might like to talk about or say anything about being involved with over the years?
Well, I think at one time, when they weren't combined, I think we belonged to three or four PTAs because of the way our children were spread out. So we have been active in community affairs.
The PTAs all centrally done? Or is it just because of the way they've got the grades set up?
I'm not sure. I know there is a coordinating council for them. I assume that each school, whether it is quote a PTA or a parent teacher or parent school organization, I don't know.
Well, that's another thing in regards to the schools that we could talk about. You mentioned that when you came here in 1950, all of the schools were on Main Street, but by the time your children graduated from high school, they had already done all the diversification all over the city here.
Correct.
All these other schools all over, so they ended up not going to school a few blocks away.
Our children all went to the close school.
Uh-huh.
I think that they didn't start, I don't know when they started busing.
But by the time they were in high school, it was the new high school.
The new high school in Ammerman and Main Street. Moraine and Silver Springs and came later as the subdivisions grew.
Okay. So do you have any other things about the community you'd like to discuss?
No.
No. Okay. Well, in that case, I would like to thank you very much for giving us your time.
Now, do you cut out all the... Oh.